Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, we'll welcome Norman Van Aken with a word on food and Jody Horn-Leschinski with our Broward Arts Calendar. Well, it's been years in the making, and now opening day is next week. It's quite an exciting time for South Florida's celebrated Perez Art Museum Miami, and our contributor Judith Bishop rejoins us with the details.
The new Perez Art Museum is set to open to the public on December 4th, pegged to Art Basel. The construction seems to be right on schedule, which is a major accomplishment when the scale is so grand and the public dialogue so intense. The actual construction took about 2.5 years. The museum raised over $220 million, $100 million from a bond issue, and a sizable chunk, about $25 million, from the Related Group developer, George Perez, a donation that won him naming rights to the new museum. The building replaces the old Miami Art Museum on Flagler. That building was vintage Spanish architecture designed by Philip Johnson. The new and improved version is designed by famous Swiss architects Herzog and de Meuron. Their elevated and cantilevered building is inspired by Stiltsville. It's both an homage to Miami history and a calculated move to elevate the art in case of hurricanes and flooding. The Perez Art Museum has a prime location near the AAA Arena and the new Frost Science Museum. The views are spectacular, and to maximize the panorama, there are large decks and vertical gardens with tropical plants suspended from trellises. The construction project evolved under the watchful eye of museum director Tom Collins. He comes to Miami from the Neuberger Museum of Art in Westchester County, and he is our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat. Tom Collins, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. I think the savvy art lovers in Miami certainly know your name and your affiliation with the new Perez Museum, but I bet you they don't know a whole lot about your background. So let's start with you and your CV.
Sure. Well, I come to Miami. I arrived about three and a half years ago. My most recent position, I was director of the Neuberger Museum of Art in New York, which is a modern and contemporary art space in Westchester County. I began my career after graduate school at the Museum of Modern Art and have sort of worked my way across the country as a curator and a director.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here in Miami, especially at this particular time. You certainly scored a big coup winning this job. You've been here 3.5 years supervising the construction. You were literally in on the ground floor. It's kind of like being in the delivery room when the baby is born. What were the biggest challenges you had to face during this startup and construction phase?
Well, you know, actually, it's been a surprisingly painless construction phase. So I arrived at about 60% of the design development. So the basic program was set, and I loved it, of course, or I wouldn't have made the journey down here. And the actual construction process has, as I said, been fairly painless. We've had great weather, which was one of our concerns, but we remain at this point on our original schedule to open the first week of December.
That in itself is remarkable.
Yes.
Describe for us what the museum looks like.
Well, one of the most interesting things about this design is the fact that a big part of the inspiration came from the architect's experience of Stiltsville. So the building is, in fact, inspired by the Stiltsville form. It is elevated above the ground on stilts. Three stories of space above those stilts stretch between an enormous wraparound deck on the first floor and an enormous overhanging louvered roof, which shelters the entire property. And the inspiration has various dimensions to it. But, of course, part of it was simply the fact that we're collecting important cultural materials. And like much of Miami, we're on a floodplain. So the idea was, like the Stiltsville houses, to get us high above any kind of tidal flow that might threaten the museum. The second inspiration really had to do with the idea that we wanted to create a space where people felt comfortable gathering outside, a new kind of public space, whether they come into the museum or not. That huge wraparound deck on the first floor is free and open to the public. And on that deck, one is protected from the elements, protected from the sun, protected from the rain, but able to have an experience, an immediate experience of the park, of the bay, and of the city skyline in immediate proximity to the collections and exhibitions.
So incorporating the Bay View was a big, big part of this design as well. How about inside? How many floors? How many galleries?
Well, it's the building's enclosed space is about 140,000 square feet. That deck is over 30,000 square feet, so it's an enormous amount of space which we can use for programming, sculpture installation, performance, and so forth out on the bay. And then, as I said, three floors of enclosed space between that deck and the roof. The first two floors are principally exhibition spaces. We have, of course, a restaurant and a shop and so forth on that first floor as well. But the galleries themselves are remarkable. They're very generous spaces. They are spaces that are organized in a very progressive way. This is not your traditional series of galleries that unfolds in a kind of linear narrative, but rather they're clusters of differently scaled spaces that interlock in very unusual ways. And we talk about this as progressive because if you think about the traditional approach to exhibition design, museum design, it really insists upon a kind of linear narrative, one approach to storytelling. And the way our architects, Herzog and de Meuron, have organized the exhibition spaces, they insist on a kind of polyvocal approach to storytelling. And as we say to everyone, if there were ever a community that demanded a polyvocal approach to storytelling in a public institution, an art institution, this would be the place.
Well, I know the architects spent a lot of time here and absorbed the culture and the surroundings, and that's how they came up with the Stelzfeld plan. So it's nice to know that they took that into consideration in making the design. There are two elements, I think, that make a world-class museum. One is the building, the physical space, and the second is what's in it. And I am sure that you and the others have been stung a few times by some of the criticism of the current permanent collection and the new Perez collection.
Yes.
So how do you answer your critics?
Well, first of all, this is an institution that's only been collecting a little bit over a decade, right? We're a very young institution, and of course, this is a young city. So at this point, we have about 1,800, a little over 1,800 objects in our permanent collection that have been acquired in a very thoughtful, very considered way. So this has actually been a bit of a benefit, right? We have been able to build collections that we're really going to be able to use. So there's not a lot of chaff in there. There's a lot of wheat. And those collections have been built, I think, very intelligently through gift and purchase to enable us to tell stories that we think are going to be particularly relevant to our audiences here in Miami-Dade. And so I think that people will see when they visit our permanent collection installations, for example, that there is actually a real richness of material there. And I think that most of our audiences, our local audiences, are going to see aspects of their own lives, of their own personal experiences, and in this very uniquely diverse city, in those collections, in those materials, and in the way that we present them, the way we're telling stories there. So I think quite a bit of this will be put to rest in the first 2 years. The first 2 years, the plan is to present permanent collection materials with some significant loans made by our great local collectors to tell a series of stories about the relationship between art production in North America and South America and the Caribbean in the period after the Second World War. And we're telling those stories through thematic installations. So it's 12 thematic installations that will change over the course of these 2 years. And I think that it will be the kind of presentation that is both engaging for an art-interested but not necessarily art-knowledgeable audience. But I also think, insofar as we've committed ourselves to really indexing our exhibitions and our collection development on the unique demographics of this community, if we do what we set out to do, it will also look from the outside to people in the quote-unquote art world as a really kind of progressive model for a North American museum.
You, during your fundraising, set aside money for new acquisitions. What kind of specific stories do you want to tell in the future with those acquisitions? What direction exactly are you going in?
Well, just to be clear, that we actually, our mission is, with regard to collecting, is to collect modern and contemporary art, so 20th century art and art of the present moment from around the world. But when I talk about being uniquely responsive to the demographics of this community and the interests and sort of cultural influences that are so relevant here, I'm really talking about weighting things more heavily towards the Americas, for example, than they are weighted in other North American institutions. Certainly, the Caribbean is a big focus of interest for the curatorial staff, and as we create exhibitions and build collections, I think that will become more clear. But at our opening, we have a whole series. We have 9 exhibitions when we open. Of those exhibitions, one is a large survey of work by the Chinese artist Ai Weiwei. So, of course, you know, very important international artist. And we have 4 new commissions of work that were created by artists from outside of the Americas. So they were invited to Miami, and they've been asked to make work that in some way responds to their experience here. We've commissioned works by artists, 4 artists, one from Poland, one from Scotland, one from Israel, and one from Morocco.
Diversity and international art comes to Miami in a big way at your opening.
We're really trying to both showcase cultural ideas and particularly hybrid ideas that are immediately relevant here in Miami, but also to bring ideas from other parts of the world into this community and to ask people with very different perspectives to respond to what they discover here in Miami.
Well, good luck to you and to the museum, which opens during Art Basel. Thank you so much, Tom Collins, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
The new Perez Art Museum is located at 1103 Museum Drive. That's right off Biscayne Boulevard in downtown Miami near the AAA Arena. It will be open every Tuesday through Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursdays, the museum will stay open until 9 p.m., and it's closed on Monday. Free admission every Thursday and every second Saturday of the month. For more information, log on to PAMM.org or telephone 305-375-3000. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
We'll be back with more South Florida Arts Beat exclusively on WLRN right after these messages.